Resurrection Day is the most important day in human history. Amen. And so we celebrate that today. We celebrate Him. And you've heard through song and through the Word, Jesus' journey to the cross. I want to talk to you just a few minutes today about what is faith. What is faith? Because without faith, none of this means anything. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Substance, the word hypostasis is the Greek for the word substance. Faith is the substance. The word substance means confidence, it means conviction or reality. So you can say, now faith is a reality of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In Romans chapter 8, verse 24, the word says you were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? You see, if we see it, it's there. We don't have to hope for it. But faith is hoping for what we don't see with our eyes. He says in 25, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." The word perseverance there means believing. So we eagerly wait for it with believing. Perseverance. You see, hope with perseverance is what God wants for us. Hope with perseverance, true faith. Perseverance means continuing in faith. And so true faith, it doesn't stop. True faith is a continual thing that goes on and on and on. Every hour, every minute, every day. So where does faith come from? Where does faith come from? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Amen. Faith comes from the Word of God. So that hope comes from the Word of God. And that believing comes through the Word of God. And the only way you can have that hope is to believe that the Word of God is the truth and the only truth. Amen. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, the gospel. You've heard the gospel, a portion of the gospel from those segments in Luke earlier. And of course, today, Resurrection Day, which is the completion of the gospel. But what does faith look like? What does faith look like? Mark chapter 5. We get a very good example from the Bible of what faith looks like. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned around the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude, the thronging, you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing that what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Faith. That's what faith looks like. She believed what she couldn't see. She believed she had that hope. She hoped she had the hope or the substance of what she could not see. But she believed. Her perseverance brought her to touch Christ, just to touch His clothes. And her faith, as He said, that faith is where her healing comes through and came through. That's what faith looks like. Faith believes without doubting. Faith believes in spite of the circumstances. The Word says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And you see, that's an example of walking by faith and not by sight. The only sight she had was 12 years of affliction. But she believed who Jesus was. And she believed what He could do. In fact, she believed so much that she didn't even believe she needed to hear from Him or have Him address. Just touch His garment. Just touch His garment. Just touch His presence. And she was healed. You know, faith is not always easy. People that think you have faith and life is a bed of roses and it just goes on. Well, it goes on, but sometimes it goes sideways. Sometimes it goes in different directions. But what does faith look like? That's a perfect example from the Bible. But I've asked someone to come this morning, Brooklyn, to come and share what faith looks like today. What does faith look like? We can read about faith in the Bible, but what does it look like today when it's lived out in everyday life?
All right. So, Pastor asked me, or warned me last Sunday, that I was going to get up here and share my testimony with you guys. And I just kind of looked at him like, you're talking in front of the congregation. And he goes, well, of course. I'm like, all right, well, I have to be obedient and do it. So, this whole year has been pretty rough. I feel like every obstacle has hit me just one right after another. Since January, I've been sick off and on. As soon as I were to feel better, I were to get sick again or something else were to hit me. Right before Valentine's Day, I just feel like I hit a wall with my health. It was February 7th to be exact when I started to feel awful. I had no energy. I was in pain off and on. And it was around 10 p.m. on a Saturday night. I was supposed to be here at church the next Sunday morning to lead the tech team. And I was trying to push through so I can come here and then figure out my health later. Finally, I just asked my dad to take me to the emergency room. And just on the way there in the emergency room, I was dreading what they were going to tell me or what new medicine they were going to send me home on. Once I got to the ER, they did a bunch of testing, and the doctor came in and said that they were going to admit me. I just kind of laughed at myself and was just like, okay, what else can happen to me? I was mad that this was happening, and I was also confused and asked God, why me? Am I not doing enough? After being admitted, the surgeons came in and met with me. They wanted to run more tests and just due to a major surgery I've had over 20 years ago. I had one doctor saying, yes, they were going to do surgery, and another saying, no. It was a back-and-forth game for a while. After further testing, one of the surgeons did come in and say that they are going to do surgery, but they said it was going to be very risky. And at that moment, fear and doubt just flooded me. after processing the conversation of all the risk, I didn't know what to think. I didn't turn to God. I sat in the bed and listened to all the lies that the enemy was feeding me. All the fear and doubt turned into anger. I was angry that I was going through this. I was so doubtful that God could even heal me in that moment. I wanted to give up on my walk, give up with dealing with being sick all the time. I knew what I needed to do in that moment, but I didn't want to. I sat there thinking, was it even going to help the situation? I remember sitting and looking out the window, just crying out to God, why? Why me? Am I not doing what you have asked? I've been in the Word daily. I've been spending time with you. I'm serving. I've been face down on the floor in prayer every day. During this time, I texted a friend to let them know exactly what was going on. One of their simple yet powerful replies were, trust man or trust the Lord, and test. In that very moment, I knew I wasn't trusting the Lord whatsoever. I was trusting and believing the lies of the enemy that he was feeding me in that very moment. I actually didn't know if I had any trust left in me. A little while later, I received a text from another person saying this phrase, that as hard as it might be, we walk by faith, not by sight. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And they also sent me a YouTube video of healing scriptures. I didn't want to listen to it, but they were very persistent that I stop and listen to it. One of the verses that stood out was Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. In that moment, my cries turned from God, why me, to God, I need you. I knew what I needed was his strength and his peace to be able to get through all of this. But God knew exactly what I needed and was already preparing the hearts of the people that were reaching out and encouraging me to help me stand strong, not stand strong on lies, but stand strong on truth. I asked the Lord, you know, if you're really here, you know, please show me that you are. Now, in my hospital room, I was 5 stories up, and the kitchen was below me, and all you could see is just smoke clouds coming from the kitchen. I'm looking out the window. I'm crying. I'm still angry. I'm still confused. And all of a sudden, I just see his silhouette just walking into the clouds. It was that moment I knew that he was there. I felt ashamed that I even doubted his presence and fell for the lies that the devil was feeding me. This was a test for me. Who was I going to choose, God or Satan? It was a rough 3 to 4 weeks after that. After 2 surgeries, a lot of antibiotics, he was healing me even though I doubted him. A few weeks later, I had another doctor run tests. It's a test to test inflammation in your body. 6 months ago, my numbers were over 500, and now they're 81. A normal range is 50. So even though I doubted him, I didn't trust him. It was like he was showing me what the great physician can do. If I didn't reach out, if I didn't have courage to reach out to the close people in my life to let them know what was going on, what I was actually feeling, I would have never got the words I needed to hear to encourage me to stay in the Word and in his presence. A few weeks ago, I was sent a sermon to watch, and it was about the threshing floor. And in that sermon, it said that we have bad days and fall, but it depends on where we fall. Do we fall on the ground to our knees or get blown away in the wind with the wicked? I remember coming back to church. It was Communion Sunday, the first Communion Sunday in March, and I really didn't want to be here. There was still anger in me. I remember sitting through the worship songs, and one song that came on was The Same God. And then instantly, I just fell to my knees. I knew that's where the place I needed to be. That's where the healing needed to start. That's where the refinement was starting. And that's where, you know, I met him. Even though I doubted him and I didn't trust him, he was still there.
So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. You see, faith's not always easy. I believe that's why the Word says, he uses the word perseverance. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not yet seen. And there's something else about faith. Faith requires action. Faith requires action. Hebrews 11:17 speaks of Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac, who he had received the promises offered up of his only begotten son. We read about that in Genesis 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, "Here I am." And then he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Verse 5, when he got there, Abraham said to his young men that had come with him and the donkeys, he said, "Stay here with the donkeys. The lad," meaning his son, "and I will go yonder and worship." And then he said, he finished that sentence with this, "And we will come back to you." Now you can just buzz by that little word and not see what happened. But Abraham's faith was already in action. He told those guys attending with him, "You stay here. Me and the boy are going to go up there on the mountain and worship. And then we will come back." Well, God just told him to sacrifice him as a burnt offering. There's a conflict there. But for Abraham, there was no conflict because his faith was in action. In fact, he went all the way. In verse 10, "And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he stopped him. And he provided a sacrifice." You see, he tested Abraham's faith. And Abraham's faith, which requires action, he took action. He believed. He trusted God. Moses, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 22, God instructed him. He said, "You'll take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel post and the two doorposts with the blood that's in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of this house until morning." You see, the death angel was about to pass through Egypt and kill every firstborn. And God instructed Moses, "Just take the blood from the lambs and spread it over the doorpost of each home." And they did that. And by faith they did that. But you see, faith does require action. Faith requires that we have action. The first action it requires is to believe. Abraham believed. He didn't walk by sight. He walked by faith. Sight said, "I'm taking my son and I'm putting a knife to his throat. My only son, the son who God promised to populate eternity with." But he believed. He believed. He believed. I believe that even if he killed Abraham, he killed Isaac, that God would raise him up. But his faith had action. And our faith must have action. Moses took action. And their faith spared their firstborn. So I don't know where you are in your faith this morning. I don't know what you believe. But I know what I believe, and I believe in the resurrection. I believe that Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried, and on the third day, he was raised from the dead for my sins. John chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, and to those who believe in his name." There's two words there that are key. As many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. You see, we have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to believe and we have to receive. You say, well, I believe in God. I'm glad you do. I believe in God, but so does Satan. You see, it's not about head knowledge. It's not about understanding in our head only and knowing that God's real. Yes, I believe in God. Satan knows him well. He believes in him. But it says, as many as received him and believed him, they have the right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Through faith. What is faith? Faith is believing, and faith is receiving. By grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. If you're a Christian here today, and I hope you are, you have nothing to boast about being a Christian because your faith, your salvation came as a free gift from God. You just received it by faith, by believing. And with a group this big, I'm sure there are some here that aren't quite settled in their faith yet. They maybe believe in God, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You must. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. Except through faith in him. So have you done that? Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, the words that you've heard from Scripture. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. You see, you can believe in God in your head, but it's only when you believe in your heart who Jesus is that you're saved. Amen. Someone can change your mind, but only Jesus can change your heart. Amen. And when Jesus changes your heart, no man can change that. Amen. I can talk you into something, and I can talk you out of something, but once it's here, it can't be removed. Amen. Verse 11 says, for the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I just want to be honest with you this morning. I want to ask you, are you saved? Bow your heads and close your eyes, please. I want you to contemplate, what is faith? I want you to contemplate, what is my faith this morning? It's Resurrection Sunday. Yes, it's the story of Jesus going to the cross, being crucified, being raised from the dead. But does that really mean something to you? What does that really mean to you? It only means something if you have faith. If you have faith. You see, we can't see salvation. We can't hold it in our hands. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we can see the evidence of faith in other people's lives when it's manifested. But what about you? What about you? the greatest, most important day in human history, Resurrection Day. Are you a part of it? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? You see, the Bible says without repentance, there's no salvation. And repentance is a word that's not talked about a lot. The word repent means to turn away, to go a different direction. And I believe for some sitting here today, this is your day. The Holy Spirit of God is calling you to repent, to turn away from your way and to turn to His way. By faith. By faith. You know, too often we just say, well, pray this little prayer and you're saved. You know, that's a fallacy. It's a fallacy. It's only through repentance, believing and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Trusting Him. Trusting Him like Abraham trusted God. You can't see, you can't hold it, but by faith you receive Him. And so this morning I want to encourage you right now, in your own way, in your own words, repent. Tell the Lord right now, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm convicted that my sin is wrong. My way is wrong. And ask Him to forgive you. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. And then by faith, the same faith that Abraham and Moses had, by faith, believe and receive that forgiveness. Receive it by faith. And He'll begin to change your life. Some things instantly, some things over time. But you'll see differently. You'll look at things differently. You'll think differently when He's real in your life. And you'll know it. The Bible says that God's Spirit confirms with your spirit that you're a child of God. So as you sit here today, you know in your heart of hearts if you're saved or not. And if you're not, I pray that you've exercised and had faith this morning to repent and to receive and to believe. Give Him your life. And if you've done that this morning, God wants you to profess Him, profess Jesus as your Savior. And so if you've received Christ as your Savior today, make sure you tell somebody that you did that. He says, if you don't confess me before man, I'll not confess you before the Father. And so it's important that you believe and take action to your faith and tell somebody, I received Christ today. If you've received Christ today, would you just slip your hand up? Okay. Thank you. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for those who have made a profession of faith and received Christ as Savior. I pray, Lord, that it's real in their life. I pray that Your Holy Spirit seals their faith with redemption, with renewal, and with resurrection life in their lives. God, fill them with Your Holy Spirit. Empower them to walk with You for the rest of their lives. And we thank You, and we praise You. We give You all honor and glory because it's due You. It's only because of You. It's only because of Jesus. And we praise You and thank You in His mighty name. Amen and amen. Stand together.